there's such a rush to doing it that it's like the runner's high, you know, that they talk about. And it's just, it's awesome. And it's so addictive that it's like, I never want to stop doing this.
Welcome to the American Grown Podcast, hosted by Austin Sullivan. The American Grown Podcast will focus on people from different walks of life and their journey to where they are now. Now, turn up your volume and settle in for a great episode.
This is the American Grown Podcast, recorded inside the ColorTech Creative Solutions Studios.
Today, we have Nell Tice, owner of Enticing Media. Nell, welcome to episode 91 of the American Grown Podcast.
Thank you so much. 91 episodes. Congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you. Yeah, for listeners that aren't into podcasting or vlogging, it is a lot of work.
People have no idea how much work it actually is.
Yeah.
Like, we've built part of our business on producing podcasts and taking over some of the headaches. I don't want to call them headaches, because to me, they're not headaches. They're just part of the process. But people have no idea what it takes to, like, the editing, to the social media work, to the show notes, right, to all of the things.
The show notes. Oh, I'm trying to find a software that will let me kind of automate it, you know? So I'm big into, like, being anti-AI, because I feel like it's already taking over. and it's in your phone and your computer and your TV and stuff. But, like, just those minor tricks or hacks that can make it simpler for you, I think, is important.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's, if you break it down, you can always transcribe an episode, right? So put it into words already. You can throw it into Descript. You can highlight some things that were key points in the episode. You can use AI. I have a philosophy with AI.
Okay.
You can let it work for you, but never let it be your final product.
Ooh, I like that.
Never let it be your final product. And look, social media platforms are smart enough to understand when you're copying and pasting from AI. Like, they know it.
Yeah.
And honestly, I think most platforms are pushing you down in the algorithm or the ranks or whatever you want to call it, because you're just copying and pasting. They want the keystrokes. They want that authentic, like, building the post and the copy right then and there. So don't ever let it be your final product.
I like that a lot. I think I'm going to learn a lot in this episode.
I'm big on talking about AI. I actually have a speech coming up in October about it, but...
Whoa.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
We'll get to that.
All right. We'll get to that. Okay. Yeah. October is my birth month, actually. So...
Oh, nice.
I don't know if your speech is October 14th, but it's a great day.
It's actually October 4th. Oh, I think it's the 4th.
Close enough. But before we dive in, there's some things I want to cover. First, I want to thank you for your patience. I know off air we were talking briefly, but you had filled out the guest form back in October of 2022. I know.
So wild.
I apologize. It feels like forever ago, doesn't it?
It feels like a lifetime.
But it's not. But it feels like it.
No. But so much has changed in that time frame. I remember emailing you this morning. You were like, okay, here's like the rundown of how this is all going to go. And I was like, oh, wait. I'm not that anymore. I don't do that. I do this now. And I was like, you know what? Here's a whole new bio.
Right. Yes, you sent that over. And I'm like, oh, wow, this is different. Yeah. And it like time from COVID era from 2020 to now, it just seems like a blink of an eye, you know?
Oh, it's crazy. It's so weird to think about when we look back at certain like programming that we watched or things that we did or didn't do. It's like we're talking about it like it was 20 years ago. And it wasn't. It was just 4 years ago, but literally feels like a lifetime.
Feels like a lifetime ago. And with that being said, I wanted to shout out, because also Kenny, your husband, and Rob, they are hosts of the Drunk Squirrel podcast.
Yes.
I'll repeat that, Drunk Squirrel podcast. They also filled out the form. So guys, I want to get yous on. I have some bourbon. I have some beer here.
Love bourbon.
Do they? Are they bourbon guys?
They are bourbon guys.
Okay, sweet. And I'll have to ask them how the name of the Drunk Squirrel podcast came about. We don't want to give any spoilers away.
It's a good story. I'll just tell you that much.
All right. Perfect. Leave a little cliffhanger there. let me give like a full who we have here. All right. Nell Tice. Yeah, here we go. Entrepreneur, best-selling author. We're going to talk about that. Speaker, podcast host. We'll get into that. Radio show host and travel vlogger. Your book, is it... Curvature sorry, yeah. Curvature of the Career.
Curvature of the Career. Yes. Yeah, that is correct. Yeah.
And that was that hit number one in Women in Business and number one in 45-minute short reads on Amazon.com.
Yes.
That's pretty awesome.
Yeah. I mean, it was super cool. It was something that I did, like, one of the first things that I did as soon as I went full time with the business.
Okay.
And I was working with a business coach at the time, and he's like, you got to write a book. And I was like, nobody wants to read anything that I have to say. First of all, I've not accomplished anything in my life. I mean, I was super, like, hated myself for everything that I did and choices that I've made. And I wasn't overly confident with what I was doing at the time. And he was like, it doesn't matter. Somebody out there needs to hear your story.
Yeah.
And I was like, all right. So it's funny because I had already kind of started writing a book and I was saving it for, you know, 30 years from now when I actually have accomplished something. And then I just kind of revisited that and I was like, all right, let's just keep it going. So I did. I wrote, it's only like maybe 30 pages. But it's a short story with a lot packed into it. And it's basically the curvature comes from growing up with scoliosis and how the twists and turns, that's kind of where that fits in, of the career, it shapes your life. So,
wow.
That's where that came from.
Deep. What'd you say, 30 pages?
Yeah.
Well, to me, that's a good size because I remember college or high school, would you have to write a 1,000-word essay? And I thought that was a lot.
Don't take me back to that place.
So 30 pages, I feel like, is a nice size read. You know, it's something that it's not going to take you weeks or months, but it packs a lot in there. So, you know, and we're going to go more in depth on all that. So I got to ask, what the Nell? Right? The title of, you know, your podcast, What the Nell?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What the Nell? So it's funny because I love podcasting. It was one of the most favorite things that I do. And Kenny and I had a podcast before, oh my gosh, I want to say, was it 2020? I think it was in 2020. We started a podcast called Just the Two of Us. And it was about living our child-free life and traveling and, you know, all that stuff. So we got so busy in our careers and we worked at the same place at the time, actually East Indies Coffee and Tea, local here in Lebanon. And a lot of shifts were happening in the business at the time. And I was just like, I can't handle this anymore. I can't do this podcast. And so we abandoned it. And then finally, when I went full time in the business, I was like, I got to bring this back, but I got to bring it back in a different way. And I was like, all right, how can we do this? It's going to be about business, entrepreneurialism. And I was in the shower one day and I was like, what the Nell?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. That's the perfect name.
Right. Seriously. Yeah. What the Nell? It just rolls off the tongue.
Yeah. And I've had a few people say, oh, I love the name of your podcast. And it's really cool because it doesn't limit you in genre. So if one day I was like, I'm done talking about business, I want to talk about health and wellness, What the Nell still works no matter what road you go down. And I take a lot of the marketing ideas that we have in our business and everything else that we do, and I try to make it so that there's room to expand and there's an umbrella for something else and basically make it so that there's room for growth.
You're thinking ahead.
Exactly.
Well, has anyone ever confused it and said, what the hell? I got to ask, like, has there ever been a guest?
I think it's been me.
Yeah. I just was curious because it's like, what the Nell? But, you know, yeah.
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 I think it's been me. Like, so we have this cool thing that we do at the end of every episode, and we ask the guest, give us a what the Nell moment. You know, we're usually talking about serious stuff like business and, you know, all those things. And I'm like, all right, we need something to remind ourselves that we don't need to take ourselves so seriously. And so give us a what the Nell moment, like tell us something quirky, funny, anything, something, a travel story, anything like that. And I think one of the guests one time, I was like, give us a what the hell story. And I kept saying it. And right. She was like, what, you want something like scary? Like, what do you want? And I didn't even realize
it. Yeah.
And yeah. And I was like, oh, wait, hold on. It's what the Nell.
No.
What the hell am I doing with the Nell?
Yeah. I could see that, you know, it easily slip out there. Just like sometimes I'll have a guest on the American Grown podcast here in the studio. And then at the end, you know, after we've been talking for an hour and a half sometimes and listen to my episode or catch my episode on the Homegrown podcast. And I'm like, no, American grown, like born in the USA, America. And it's just funny how sometimes your brain switches words or puts things in that's not there,
yeah,
you know?
Exactly. Yeah. And if you're not like super uber focused right then and there, I mean, it goes back to, yeah, where your brain's trained to go.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Yeah. So let's get your full story. yes, I know we covered a lot already and there's so much to talk about. What was your childhood like? You know, where'd you grow up?
Yeah, so I grew up in right outside of Baltimore, actually in a town called Catonsville, Maryland. And I originally so I was born in Lebanon. And
I was born here.
No, it was like, it's the Women's Health Center now. Oh, it was, yeah. What was that called?
Oh my gosh. Oh, we were just talking about this recently because we have the two kids under two.
The Hyman
Kaplan.
Yes,
Hyman Kaplan.
That's what it was.
Yeah.
So I was born there, and my grandparents were from, sure. Oh my gosh, that's like OG Lebanon.
Yes.
So my grandparents lived here. My parents were both raised here, and I was born here. And when I was about 3 years old, my dad took a job in Randallstown in Maryland, and he went to go work with computers. And it's crazy because, you know, this was 1987 and people were like, computers, that's never gonna take off.
If only they knew. Yeah,
exactly. So they thought he was crazy, and he was like, oh yeah, no, we're moving to Baltimore. So we moved down there, and I grew up in a row home, brick row home outside of the city of Baltimore, till I was in about fifth grade, I think it was. We moved out because the area started getting a little rough, and my parents were like, oh, I don't know, you know, I had already been in like a fight or two, and
you were in a fight or two. Yeah.
I don't know. I like kicked a girl or something. I don't know. It was just
over a boy or what?
No, I mean, probably not at that time.
Yeah,
it was probably like a Barbie thing.
Mm,
you know,
got
like,
it. Yeah,
took my Barbies, and now I got to kick you.
you're my mortal enemy. Yeah,
yeah, but I've always kind of had a little bit of a rebellious side, which I think is what makes me a really good entrepreneur now, and which we can, you know, get into that later on too. So we moved out to Catonsville when I was in middle school. I was a band geek. I was a science nerd. I have been wanting to be on the Weather Channel and be a meteorologist since I was in third grade.
Wow.
Like, to the point where if there were severe weather warnings in like other states, I would get so scared. I'd be like, when's the storm coming? Oh my gosh. I would like watch the sky and everything. And I remember there was a hurricane at one point somewhere, but we were having severe weather. So I thought it was the hurricane. And there was this lightning strike that came down. I was like stunned. My dad was like, how many fingers am I holding up? I would get crazy. I got banned from the Weather Channel. I couldn't watch it. My parents wouldn't let me.
That's great.
Other kids were like banned from, you know, like Star 69 or whatever at the time.
Yeah.
And
the Weather Channel.
The Weather Channel did me in. And so that was like my
awesome
goal in life. I didn't care what I did. I was getting to the Weather Channel, you know?
Yeah.
So I went through school. I was a pretty good student in high school. Like I said, I was a music kid. I was in all the bands, everything. I played steel drums, saxophone, everything. So graduated high school, went to Millersville University, and went for the meteorology program.
Makes sense.
I was like second semester in, and I was like, this ain't for me.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, I was having a good time.
Okay.
Don't get me wrong. But I realized I was going to have to be in school for like 12 years to get to where I wanted to be. Because as a meteorologist, at the time, with a bachelor's, I could have gone to work at the NSSL, like the National Severe Storms Laboratory in the Midwest, for like 12 grand a year. So getting to that level of being on TV and... God bless Stephanie Abrams. She has my job.
Yeah.
That's I love her dearly.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, so you were going, you wanted to be, boom, in front of the TV, out in the weather, in the elements.
Yeah, I wanted to be Jim Cantore. I wanted to hang from the light poles sideways in the hurricane force winds, everything.
Yeah.
And I remember I made an appointment with my counselor at the time at Millersville, who happened to be Dr. John Scala.
Okay.
Who was originally at the Weather Channel.
What?
And was then at Millersville at the time. And I'm like, in the whole weather area. He's tracking a storm. He's like showing it to me on the monitors. And I'm like, yeah. I'm here to tell him that I'm quitting.
Right, right.
What's wrong with you?
Yeah.
So we go through the whole thing and he's like, well, you know, maybe don't quit. Maybe think about changing your major, all that type of stuff. And I did. I changed my major to broadcasting. And like, cause one way or another, like at this point I'm like, well, that's fine. I'll be on ESPN. That's great.
Right.
Like I just want to be on TV.
That's a win.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah.
I can be Erin Andrews.
Right. Correct.
She also has my job. So I, you know, and then I realized school's just not for me.
Yeah.
I'm done. I'm over it. And growing up, I think I mentioned this earlier. I had grown up with scoliosis. I was, you know, they check you out in school and everything. They do the whole test. I was in a back brace full time from 6 years old to 14. So there's a lot of issues going on there with confidence and or lack thereof, I should say. And so a lot of times I heard like, oh, I don't want to be friends with back brace girl, or you'll never be on TV because you're crooked. You know,
kids those, are like, sad. Like
kids are so
brutal.
Mean. Yeah. I mean, maybe that plays into why we don't have kids now. But anyway, that's a whole separate story.
Wow. So, I mean, there was a little bit of bullying back there, back then, definitely.
Yeah,
that
for
you
sure.
Experienced. Yeah.
For sure. Yeah. Yeah. And the only way that I could get time outside of the back brace was if I played sports or swam, did gymnastics, things like that.
Okay.
So I did a lot of sports growing up. This kind of wasn't for me. And I always had my eyes set on being in front of people somehow.
Right.
Some way.
In front of a camera in some way.
Exactly. Yeah. But at the time, there was no YouTube. Right. There was no any of that.
Any of that wasn't even a thing.
Yeah. You needed a degree
no
to
iPhones.
Get yourself there. Exactly.
None of that.
Yeah.
But it's kind of crazy that your dad had like the insight, you know, to be like, hey, I'm going to go work on computers. Okay. So I got to ask, it's a more recent question, really. Mm-hmm. Have you seen Twister?
Yes.
What do you think of that?
I saw it opening night.
Okay. Duh, Austin, what the heck?
I gathered all my friends, my nerdy friends, and I said, guys, you got to come with me. We rented the whole back, we bought this whole back row of a movie theater, and we went to dinner, and we went to see the movie. And
yeah.
It was so much fun.
Flagship or Regal?
Flagship.
Flagship,
they
yeah.
They got the
you
got
to go
seats.
Flagship. Heated seats. The slushy machine almost always works. Yeah. My wife and I saw that too, and she was a big fan. So like, real quick, to go off, my wife grew up in a very ESPN sports.
Oh, yeah.
24/7 on TV. Great. Her and my father-in-law, any kind of sports questions, they could probably start a podcast just about sports knowledge.
Oh, my gosh.
Useless and useful. So, and meanwhile, my kind of childhood, a lot of movies, Rocky, Indiana Jones, Star Wars, Titanic, Lord of the Rings, you name it, all that good stuff. But the one movie I haven't seen, the original Twister. I know. That's what my wife said.
You're doing yourself a disservice.
I know. And I still haven't seen it because obviously the second one came out. But the second one kind of doesn't. You don't have to see the first one to see the second.
No. The second one was definitely more of a remake than I expected.
Yeah.
I actually thought it was going to be more of a sequel before we went to see it. And I realized nobody from the original cast is in the movie. The closest we get is, now Bill Paxton, rest his soul, his son is in one of the scenes. So there's like a scene where they go into like this building when the tornado is coming at the rodeo, and there's like somebody arguing with the guy behind the counter.
Yes.
That's Bill Paxton's son.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So they paid tribute to him, but that's really the only real like presence from anyone that you can see in
the
first
movie. Twister. And his son was kind of a jerk, let's be honest. But anyway, definitely gotta go see Twister. So okay, so you've seen it.
Yes.
There was no cow flying by.
No cows.
Spoiler alert, my wife was not happy about that.
I know. I wanted the cows.
Yeah.
That was an iconic point in the original. And
that's what she was saying.
I mean, a friend of mine wore a shirt that said, "I gotta go, Julia, we got cows."
Yeah.
So I was like, I hope we have cows just for the sake of her. But no cows, it's fine. You know, if we're being truly honest, I didn't think the movie was amazing. I mean, from just like a pure logic standpoint, like who is shooting fireworks into a tornado?
Right.
Get it together.
Mm-hmm.
But then Kenny reminded me, he was like, you know, the first one wasn't really that great either. And I was like, oh, yeah, you're kind of right. But I mean, as a weather fanatic, like, you can't not see it.
Right. I think it's so different of a type of movie, mm-hmm. because like, who goes out and chases storms? So I think that's why maybe it draws the crowd.
Yeah.
And then of course, certain scenes obviously get people excited, you know, and so forth. Well, certain
characters like the tornado wrangler, Glenn Powell, he's making all the rounds on social media.
Yes, he's everywhere. Yeah, yeah. Which, good for him. I mean, sell Absolutely. It, you know, but I was just like, okay. So anyway, let's get back on track. Yeah. We can talk about movies and stuff all day. You're at Millersville. You told your counselor, like, hey, I'm not doing this. He said, well, think about maybe not giving up completely. It's like, how did that go? And then how did you then become a COO?
Whew, Chief Operating Officer. Yeah. So let's see. This was 2004, which was when I left Millersville. So I ended up leaving. I left the end of the semester in May. So I was home for a summer and I was like, yeah, should I go back? Should I not?
Yeah.
I had already met Kenny at this point. And I...
Shout out to Kenny.
Yeah. Like I had a lot of decisions to make in my life. So ultimately what I did was I decided to get an apartment for a year with a roommate and live down in Maryland, get a job. Like, I should probably learn to be an adult before I actually truly go be an adult was what I was thinking.
Yeah.
And I got to tell you, even looking back now, I think it was one of the best decisions I've ever made. And certainly, like, Kenny was disappointed. You know, he wanted me to move up here. I wasn't ready.
Okay, yeah.
And I think that a lot of times in life, especially very young, if you have a feeling that you're not ready, not enough people follow that. And just go and do what you're supposed to do or what society tells you to do. So again, kind of rebelling a little bit against the norm, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So I spent a year there working, had a great time, and then finally moved up to Pennsylvania. And I had a job when I moved up here in Camp Hill. And I worked as a loan processor for a mortgage company who shall not be named that started the mortgage meltdown of 2008.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Not proud of that.
Yeah.
But ultimately, that got me to then my COO job, which, you know, I started basically washing dishes the first day. I was at East Indies Coffee and Tea Company. And, you know, I answered phones, did customer service, all the things. And then I became very interested in other parts of small business. You know, I wanted to get into production. I wanted to do some of the marketing. I wanted to do all of the things. And I was able to do that. And then finally, quality assurance.
Yeah.
And so finally, it got to the point where I could do every job in the building. And that's a good and a bad thing.
I would think more good than bad, but...
Definitely good.
Yeah.
At this point, it's very good. You know, I got promoted to COO and learned a lot operationally about business.
Mm-hmm.
I also learned a lot about what not to do in business. And finally, it just became very apparent that I was going to do this for someone else for the foreseeable future. And that really kind of, I don't want to say depressed me, but it discouraged me.
It bothered you. Yeah. It weighed on you.
Yeah.
Yeah. You leave your safety. It is a safety net, though, your 9-to-5, to pursue, you know, your passion, you know, your creativity, your full-time pursuit. Like, what was that decision like? And was Kenny supportive? What was Kenny doing at this time? He had a full-time job also?
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. We were both working at East Indies. He still is there.
Okay.
And I, you know, we had a lot of discussions because at the time, I mean, we've chosen to be child-free. And so like our main passion in life is travel. We just want to be traveling all the time. People are constantly asking us, like, oh, where are you off to next? And, you know, all the things. So a friend of ours introduced us to travel vloggers on YouTube called Kara and Nate.
Okay.
And he's like, you guys would love them. They remind me of you, too. And we were like, okay, cool. So we sat down and watched their videos, and we were hooked. And I was like, well, why don't we just start a YouTube channel? People can watch us travel if they want to know where we are, want to see, like, keep up, basically.
Right. Yeah, yeah.
So we started the travel vlog in 2019.
Okay.
The end of 2019. We started, our first vlog is terrible. Don't ever watch it on YouTube. We were in Las Vegas. And we were filming Sin on our City. Phones. Yeah.
Yeah.
We were there over Thanksgiving. So we had, like, Thanksgiving dinner. And
nice.
Yeah, it was fun. It was great.
What'd you get at Thanksgiving dinner? Like, Taco Bell or what?
No. So we went to a place called Yardbird.
hard bird, okay?
Oh my gosh, the she crab soup, the biscuit stuffing, amazing. I can still taste it to this day. I still remember filming like the review, and we had some glasses of wine, and we were like, this is the most amazing thing ever in the world. And I was like, no one's going to want to watch this.
Yeah. You so, never know.
I know. You never know. It's the thing. You just got to put it out there.
Right. And if people haven't been to Vegas, like the reason I threw out Taco Bell, I just know there's Taco Bells everywhere.
Right.
You know what I mean? So I'm like, okay, Thanksgiving, Sin City, you know, Vegas, what are you going to do? I was there once, my wife and I, back, before COVID for sure.
Yeah.
But like there's people, I think, like a great way is we do printing here, right?
Yeah.
Not a lot of people know printing. Not a lot of people know sports photography. Mm-hmm. So when you combined it, it's like, whoa, you might think it's like humdrum because you do it day in and day out, you know?
Yeah.
But like there's people out there that want to watch or want to listen to your story and want to learn. So, okay, so you're out in Vegas. That's your first video. It's still up on YouTube?
It is still there on YouTube.
Where can people see it? What's the...
Kenny and Nell.
Kenny and Nell?
Search out Kenny and Nell on YouTube.
Okay, perfect.
It's there. Reluctantly, it is. But, you know, we started doing that, of course, since it was the end of 2019. It was a poor time to start a YouTube channel, travel channel.
Right. Yeah, seriously.
You know, considering we basically got 4-ish videos in before everything got shut down for COVID. So during that time, you know, when we were being told like 2 weeks to flatten the curve, right? We bought a camera, this camera right here. It's our original vlogging camera. And we still use it to this day to vlog. It's not like I have another camera that we use too now, but this one's the OG.
Yeah.
And
Canon, great brand.
Canon M50.
Okay.
I use an ultra wide 11 to 22 millimeter lens, you know, for the close ups.
Yeah. And what's the mic?
It's a Rode Pro.
A Rode?
Okay. Yeah, it's a Rode Pro shotgun mic. It's got the dead cat on it.
Dead cat on there. And it's actually not a dead cat, people.
No, don't. The
don't
Pina, don't
cancel
don't
the American Girl podcast. Yeah, don't cancel us. Yeah. So, okay. So that's the setup. That's it, right?
That's the setup. And so we bought the camera. I was like, I'll learn to use the camera during this 2 weeks.
Okay.
Right? Turned out to be a lot longer than 2 weeks.
Yeah, it did.
So we started getting asked by like family, friends and things like that to do weddings and stuff like that. So I was like, sure. Yeah, I got a camera. I'll go out and film your wedding. I'll take photos. And I now will never do another wedding again.
Yeah.
So I do all commercial photography and videography. But in all this time, we're like, we should just start a business. Because like, what are we doing this for? So, and then, you know, we can have our business. We came up with the name Enticing Media. That way it can be an umbrella for everything that follows suit, right?
Yeah.
So we did that. We had a lot of talks about what would it look like for me to go full time with this. So we were talking about it. We never actually said we were going to do it. And one day I walked into work and for some reason, something said, do it now. Yeah. We were at the end of a meeting and I said to my boss, I said, I have to talk to you. So I'm resigning at the end of the year. And we never spoke about it again. She actually ended up passing away during the rest of my tenure there.
Yeah.
So that was how that happened. I went home after that day and I said, I quit. And Kenny was like, all right, I guess we'll figure it out. We're figuring it out.
Yeah, the rest is history, right? I was going to say, let's take a sip break real quick.
Yeah.
Okay, so you say, hey, I'm quitting. I'm done. You gave them till, what'd you say, the end of the year.
Yeah.
So that's nice because, you know, it's tough, especially you were COO,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah.
Chief Operating Officer. I mean, that's a high up position that's not easily filled.
No. Yeah. And it's a small business.
Right.
So, you know, whomever is coming into that business, I mean, we had like 8 employees. Whomever is coming into that business has got to fit. And it takes time
mm-hmm.
to understand if that fit is going to happen. So it was March 10th when I think I resigned.
Okay.
And so we had the rest of the year to figure it out. But, you know, with the owner passing away, that complicated things a lot more. So nobody was actually hired to fill my position until 2 weeks before I left.
Wow.
So I had to teach as best as I could.
2 weeks.
Try to get everything that I did
yeah.
into this person's brain.
Wow.
It was a really, really challenging time. Probably one of the more challenging times of my life. You know, because I was getting ready to embark on this huge new journey. And then also trying to navigate all of that. And I was very, very invested in this business. I treated it like it was my own. And that's what was so discouraging for me, was that I was doing it for someone else and not me.
Do you think, hypothetically, maybe you would have, just throwing this out there,
yeah,
if you would have stayed with it, maybe one day you would have been the owner?
It's funny you mentioned that, because there was an opportunity for us to purchase the business. Yeah. You know, I think a lot of times what happens in small businesses is we don't see the inner workings and the behind the scenes of how organized the books are and taxes and all of the nuances that people don't think about when you're thinking of small business, because it's not just the front facing stuff. It's not just the creative that you see. It's all of that too. It's actually mostly that. It's not glamorous.
Right.
And when we finally dug into some of that stuff, it got to be to the point where it was like, okay, this is too much for us to take on right now. We have no idea what we're looking at. We didn't have a coach. We didn't have anybody to help us. And so finally we came to this decision that it's like, you know what? Something doesn't feel right about this. So we're going to not do it. And so we didn't. And I'm looking back now, I'm glad we didn't then. Now I feel way more prepared. I really think that instead of college, everybody should go through like 4 years of entrepreneurialism.
Yeah. Yeah. You learn very quickly what to do and what not to do, what works and what doesn't work.
Yeah, for sure.
Especially when it's your career, it's your livelihood.
Yeah.
So kind of to segue into the next question, from your perspective, what makes being an entrepreneur like so great? Because a lot of people are going the entrepreneurial route, being creative, being a vlogger. What's some positives?
Oh my gosh. I would say number one is freedom, because, and you know, selfishly, control is another one for me, but I've just always needed that freedom growing up with everything, with like the scoliosis and all of that stuff, I never felt like I could breathe. And I didn't feel like I could be myself. And that freedom gives me the ability to be myself. And that is like so much weight lifted off of your shoulders, and the ability to create your own schedule, and the ability to say, you know what, our values don't align, so I'm choosing not to work with you. When you get to that point in your business, I think that's the ultimate. Like, people ask all the time, what's your definition of success? And I think that the definition is, A, you can choose to do what you want with your time and be free. And also to be able to get to a point in your business where you can call all the shots and not just take on clients and customers because you need the money. That's true, like, the benefits of being an entrepreneur.
Yeah. You know, so what are some of the lessons you've learned over the years to share with, you know, young people coming up through current entrepreneurs that maybe are stuck in a rut?
Yeah. One of the biggest lessons that we've learned through this entire journey is there are strangers on the street right now that will show you more support in everything that you're doing than people you've known for 30 years.
100%. Oh my gosh. Okay. Keep going. But we can talk about that, because I feel the same exact way.
Yeah. Yeah. And it happens to every entrepreneur.
Yeah.
I don't know why. And you know, I have a lot of theories. There's probably some jealousy involved, because look, I realize I'm in a position to do what I can do because my husband is still working to support us full time. And, you know, because building a business doesn't happen overnight.
No.
You know,
definitely it's, not.
Yeah. So yeah. I realize that not everyone can do what I'm doing right now. And I totally get that and own that. So there's probably some jealousy involved. There's also skepticism, because, you know, the people that have known you the longest have an idea of who you are. But unfortunately, they didn't really know who I was, because I was stuck. Mm-hmm. That's how I felt. And I didn't really feel like I could truly be me, because, like I said, we don't have kids. Like, my family is my friendships. And I hate to say it, it's so cliche, but like our cat and, you know, my husband, like our home life, that's everything. And my career is so important to me. And it was, you know, skepticism for sure. When people are like, are you sure you're doing the right thing? you're making a really big decision here, and this is going to affect our relationship, because now that you're full-time in your business and you've dropped your income, you can't go out to dinner with us on a Saturday night anymore. And it's selfishly those types of things that draw you apart, you know? So we experienced some of that too. And yeah, I mean, I think that two people don't always agree with what you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
And as much as you want to stay friends and have the same type of relationship, you can't put this front on if you completely disagree with somebody, and it's still affecting you. It's affecting your relationship and how you operate and everything. So I think that's huge.
Oh, I agree. It's the haters, the doubters really start to come out. Mm-hmm. And you also find out who's like your true friends.
Oh, yes, you do.
Yeah. Like, who's going to stick with you through it? I mean, you've been doing it a little bit longer than I have. The podcast is just starting in year three, but it's like, yeah, people, friends, family that you think are like got your back or would support you,
mm-hmm.
they don't. And like you said, there's people that I've met through my journey with the podcast, just random people, guests, friends, people have reached out through social medias,
mm-hmm.
and like they're more supportive than people I've known since middle school, high school.
Oh my gosh. And you know, the important thing is to, like, it's not black and white.
Mm-hmm.
There's a gray area too, and our perception of what support is. So people do also support in different ways. I realize that because, you know, it's a podcast, people are listening, and I'm on YouTube. So like now, just very recently. So people may be watching and I see the views, but I don't know who they are.
Oh, true. Yeah.
And you know, we have radio shows and there's no metric for who's listening. So people are listening and maybe they are supporting you. They're just not, you know, texting you every single time or that type of thing. And maybe you get together and your friend says, "Hey, how's business?" That's a form of support.
True.
Showing that you care. You're asking about it. And there are certain types of situations where I feel like there is no support. And that becomes a lot clearer when you get further along in the journey. And there are people that I have known for less than a year that I would consider the most supportive people in our sphere. Like, it's crazy. Like, it has nothing to do with how long you've known someone. It has everything to do with who they are, who you are, and your goals, and where you're just trying to be.
I couldn't agree more. It's amazing. Oh my gosh. When you said that, I was like, oh, that's what I've been saying. That's what I'm saying. Yeah. So it is interesting because, yeah, you see people will support, like, you know, your Taylor Swifts and your, you know, the Twister movie or things like this. You know, these huge actors and actresses, because it's cool, right? Because it's big.
They're into it.
They're into it, right. But yet, you know, the person in your local city, town, community,
mm-hmm.
who started a podcast, started a vlog, well, it's not cool yet, so I'm not going to like it,
right.
or I'm not going to share it. But as it grows, it's like, oh, now it's kind of cool, but it's like, where was that support from day one?
You know? Yeah. It's the whole pay $5 now and $50 later theory, right? So, you know, there's always, nothing happens overnight. These influencers and celebrities that just seem to come up, like that Hailey Welch, the Hawk to a girl.
Yes. She blew up. Yeah.
My gosh, that happened. That is a rarity. Think about how many billions and millions of people there are in the world. And that's one story. And that's, I think a lot of times people go into something like YouTubing and podcasting and thinking, oh my gosh, I'm going to put out 5 episodes and it's going to be the next hottest thing on Instagram. I mean,
right. That's
not at all what's going to happen.
Exactly.
I got to tell you.
Yeah. It's a process.
It is absolutely a process.
And if you're a Sixers fan, trust the process. If you are. But no, it is. It is such a process. And mm-hmm. I feel like if you're consistent
mm-hmm.
and persistent, it will pay off. It's something that, you know, maybe takes 5 years, 7 years, 2 years. You never know.
Yeah. And every person's journey is different.
Exactly.
It might take, you know, you hear all these stories about, oh, somebody, so-and-so built a $5 million business in 90 days. I mean, F off.
Right. Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah, exactly.
But, you know, for somebody, it might happen in a year or two. Someone else might take 20 years. Everyone's journey is different. You got to think about the outlets that we have available to us now. So where are you focusing on? Are you focusing on Facebook, Instagram, YouTube? Where are you trying to be? Hone in on your audience. Focus on that audience. And I guarantee you, almost, you can get to where you're trying to go a little bit quicker, maybe a little more streamlined is the word. Yeah.
No, I'm with you. Would you say you had any mentors in your life?
Yeah. I would say there's not one specific mentor that I could name. My dad is a huge one because I saw him growing up. I mean, he went to college for 2 weeks and decided it wasn't for him. He left town when everybody told him he was crazy.
Yeah.
So yeah. I kind of followed in his footsteps a little bit. And so I kind of, even though we're not like, our family is definitely not very much like communicative when it comes to expressing our emotions or anything. It's not like I'm going to walk up to him and say, "Dad, I really appreciate you teaching me this," or any of that. There's no words. Like, I just watched him. I would consider him a mentor, even though he probably doesn't even know it. I would also consider other people in my life along the journey mentors. I would consider someone that I had a working relationship with at a previous job that I couldn't stand a mentor, because it's all part of the journey. It's part of who you are. If I didn't have this interaction with this person, would I be everything that I am today? You have to give thanks, even when it's something that you're not, it's not typically normal to give thanks for.
That's a great point. Yeah, because like, it's a lesson that's being learned, right?
Yeah, exactly. It's always a lesson or a reason, anything like that. It's part of the story. You can't leave parts of the story out. I mean, it's not a whole story then.
Yeah. Wow, Nell. Oh my gosh. Let's take another sip break. No, we're covering so much. So, all right. Yeah, we got to talk about Enticing Media.
Yeah.
Right. You got it on your shirt. Yeah. That's your company. Okay, you're on the radio, your podcast. I want to dive into all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
We talked about the vlog being a travel vlog. Mm-hmm. And you're still doing that?
We are still doing it. We upload videos once every other week. So basically twice a month. And yeah, I mean, it's difficult now because we're traveling less because we're so busy with other avenues. But I mean, it's still there. It's the baby. It's what started. So I can't give it up.
Yeah, you can't kill it off. Not you'd want to, because you get to travel.
Exactly. Who doesn't love travel?
So, you know, What the Nell podcast. And then also, I keep seeing on your Facebook and social media, like Sandcastle Radio.
Yeah.
What? Yeah. I'd like to talk about all that. What is that?
So Sandcastle Radio is an independent station out of Pensacola, Florida. And the main focus is supporting independent artists and creators. And it's an internet station. There's an app that you can download. There's also a website that you can listen straight from. So it's not terrestrial radio, as we like to call it.
Okay.
And it's, you know, there's a variety. There's something for everyone. We've got, you know, house DJs. We've got dance party shows. We've got 80s. We've got 90s. We've got trap rock. We've got classical, blues. There's something for everyone. I got connected with one of the owners of Sandcastle Radio, Deborah Bassett, through a client of ours by the name of Jeremy Schreifels, a music producer and also media company owner out of Minneapolis. He connected us, and one day she posted on Facebook, she was at another station at the time, and she said, "I'm doing a show about gratitude. Who wants to be my guest on the show?" Nobody responded. So I was like, "I'll be a guest on your show."
Yeah.
I've never done radio before. This
YOLO,
could be fun.
Right. YOLO, right. Yeah.
I was doing the podcast. I was like, how different could it be? Didn't realize how different it was. But, and it was the most amazing different. And it's live radio. There's such a rush to doing it that it's like the runner's high, you know, that they talk about. And it's just, it's awesome, and it's so addictive that it's like, I never want to stop doing this. But, you know, I did her show. We stayed connected, and she and her business partner, Pete Perez, started Sandcastle Radio a few months later and asked Kenny and I if we wanted a show. And she was like, you can talk about whatever you want. Like, it's going to be a variety show.
Yeah.
And we were like, well, what would we do? What would we talk about? So we decided to have a travel show that's basically an extension of our YouTube channel. So Perfect. We do travel tips and hacks and all types of, we recapped trips that we were going on, where to eat, best food, all that stuff. So much fun. Kenny was like, you said yes to a live radio show? And I was like, yeah. He goes, do you know how to broadcast? And I was like, oh, no, I'll figure it out.
Yeah.
So we figured it out.
You figured it out, yeah.
I learned a lot about audio in that time frame, let me tell you.
Yeah. Oh my gosh, yeah. And you have to learn on the fly too, like you said. Yeah. You have to learn it very quickly. Yeah.
You have to learn it very quickly. But the one thing that we've learned about live radio, people love live because they can relate to you and they love the human aspect. So if you screw up, if you forget to turn on your mic, or you play a song when you didn't mean to play a song, or something happened,
right,
people love that. They do. And then I started to think about it. I was like, but what about the podcasts that are edited and mastered, or, you know, there's
sprinkle fairy dust to make it better. Yeah,
exactly. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
So two opposite ends of the
worlds,
spectrum.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, and again, segue into What the Nell.
Yeah.
When did you start that? I'm trying to remember.
That was a couple of months into the full-time entrepreneurial thing. And I had been jonesing to bring it back. Like, go back to podcasting, I mean. And so that came to be. I wanted to talk about business because I was learning so much in such a short period of time. And I also wanted a way to connect with other business owners. And I still, to this day, I think podcasting in your business is one of the most important ways to market. And I think it's one of the best connectors. And, you know, you go to networking events, you hand out business cards and things like that, but
right,
you don't get to spend an hour talking directly to someone about their story and their business and creating that one-on-one connection like you do in a podcast.
Yeah.
So I was like, well, this is also a great way to market and build our client list and things like that. So podcasting is like, if you ask me, and I'm like putting questions into your mouth to ask me.
But go for it.
If you could ask me what is the single most important like piece of your business, I would say the podcast.
So
I really believe in podcasting.
Truly believe that, yeah.
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 And so that became a very important part of the business. So built up, you know, all the brand, all the artwork and the graphics and...
Yeah, all the behind-the-scenes stuff.
Behind-the-scenes stuff that
nobody knows about, yeah. Uh-huh, uh-huh.
There's all that work. And then, so that debuted in March of 2022.
Okay, March 2022.
Yeah.
And where are you at?
By the time this comes out, I will be on episode 124.
Oh, congratulations.
Thank you.
Because again, it's not an easy road. It's not an easy undertaking.
No.
There's a lot of behind the scenes like we just talked about that people don't know. So that's great.
Yeah.
And your episodes always have a guest, correct?
I think normally, yes.
Normally.
I do like to, I think it's important too to throw in a solo episode occasionally because you want your listeners to connect with you personally as well. And, you know, you never know who's out there listening and what you can offer them. I think that everyone's story is worth sharing. And, you know, Kenny and I just recorded a half yearly update that's actually releasing tomorrow. So that'll be July 30th.
Okay, yeah.
So, you know, it's just another way to connect with your listener base too. And a really cool thing happened this year. I interviewed a guy named Ranger Kylak, who is walking across America. He started in South Carolina.
Yeah.
And he's walking to the California coast. And I think he reached California thus far. He finishes at like the end of the month or something.
Holy cow.
And I interviewed him before he started walking. And he left a few days later. He was like on the western end of South Carolina. He was walking along the road and he ran into a guy. And this guy was like, hey, are you that guy walking across America? And he was like, yeah, I am. And he goes, I heard about you on the What the Nell podcast.
What?
I was like, mind
blown.
Small world.
Yeah, seriously.
There's someone in South Carolina that listens to my podcast?
Yeah.
You never know who's listening.
You never know. That's a great point. You do never know.
Yeah.
You know, and there's, I don't know if you have moments, but sometimes there's moments where I'll be, you know, editing some late night moments and you're just like, okay, let's get it out. You know, the content's good. The guests are amazing. Like yourself. I have some amazing guests, but there's moments and maybe I think all entrepreneurs, creatives, not just podcast hosts or vloggers, but in general, where you might have some doubt, you might be like, man, why am I doing this? Is it worth it? And then when you hear a story like that, you know, it reached that one person in, we say South Carolina, it's like, mm-hmm. Okay, it's worth it. You know, it's reaching people. Yeah.
Totally. If you go into something with the intention of reaching millions of people, you're doing it for the wrong reasons, honestly.
Yeah.
If you go into it with the intention of reaching one person, changing that person's life or just perspective or opinion on something,
mm-hmm.
you've made your impact. And all it takes is one.
Yes.
That's all. I mean, those moments, also are sprinkled in there because somebody told me once, if you're an entrepreneur and you don't want to at least quit once a week and get a job at McDonald's, you're not a real entrepreneur.
Yeah, there you go. Right. And it makes those moments, like you said, so much sweeter because you're like, oh, like I've had every now and then I had an old football coach on and he actually brought me a card, like a thank you card. And he wrote in it and I still have it up above the fridge. And it's like, oh, man, OK, it's worth it because it's like people care, you know, and you might not be on the Joe Rogan level yet. You never know. Anything's possible. He just got dethroned by Tucker Carlson.
Oh, did he? Oh, my gosh.
TCN Network, yeah. Which is crazy to think about because Joe Rogan, it seems untouchable, but yet here's a guy that was on Fox News, obviously had viewership there, and then started his own thing, and somehow overthrew, like, the king of Spotify.
I mean...
And the king of podcasting.
Nothing lasts forever.
Good point. Yeah, nothing lasts forever. But, yeah, I don't know. It makes those moments so much sweeter. And, yeah, like you said, if you can impact one person's life, share a story, it goes a long way. Yeah.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
And it makes it worth it.
Definitely. Now, I want to talk about the items you brought with you.
Yeah.
Because you have a book, you have the camera, and then I don't know if it's a peanut or a tooth. I don't really know. So I'm just going to let you maybe start with that one or end with that.
Yeah, actually, this is a good place to start because this is kind of the starting point. Or no, actually, you know what? Let's not start with that. Let's start with the, I brought a book. This book is... The Weather Channel, The Improbable Rise of a Media Phenomenon, written by Frank Batten. And I probably read this book early in the 90s. I don't know if maybe I don't think I was in elementary school, probably middle school when I read this. And all my friends thought I was crazy. They're like, oh, wow, you're such a nerd. And this was the book that I've had this for so many... Look at this old photo of Jim Cantore.
Oh.
I mean, isn't that just, like, I want to say delicious, but...
I would say dreamy, you know? It's got some dreamy element to it, right?
Right? Like, nothing's better than Jim Cantore scaring people off a beach. Like,
yeah.
I don't know. But this is where I believe that the reason why I'm doing what I'm doing today is because of my dream to be on the Weather Channel. And I never... Some would say, well, yeah, you let your dream go because you quit college and you're not on the Weather Channel. But like I said earlier in the podcast, we didn't have resources available to us that we do now. And if you think about it, I mean, I'm on camera on YouTube. I'm on camera on the podcast. I'm doing the media thing that I originally set out to do. It just looks a little different. And so this right here is special to me because it's kind of where it all started. Then... this is a coffee bean. This is a green coffee bean.
I thought maybe I was just going out there, but you know, a coffee bean. Okay.
I swear it's not a tooth. Yeah, it's a green coffee bean. And I actually found this on the bottom of my shoe when I came home after my last day of work at the coffee company.
Really?
Yeah. It was on my floor right in front of the desk that I sit out now still at my house because I work out of my home. And I kept it because it was literally a part, that piece of the journey, that path ending, but a little piece of it came into the new one. And so I keep it on my desk as a reminder of how I got here. And also this was a little tumultuous time in my life, but also good memories. I mean, it was a really poignant time in my life. So this coffee bean actually holds a lot.
Yeah.
As far as specialness.
That's crazy.
That's a word.
Yeah. Right. You need to get like a little jar or something to keep it. Not jar, but like a, you know, a jar. Yeah.
Yeah. A little jar or something. Something. I just keep it on my desk.
Yeah. That's so cool, though. It's stuck in your shoe. And then, of course, the camera, which we covered. That's the, that's the baby, right? The first.
This was the first piece of equipment.
And it still gets the job done.
It still gets the job done. It has some audio issues internally.
It's a dead cat. Right?
But, you know, it's literally the first thing that we bought right before we started our business that got us started with the business.
Yeah.
And it has more than paid for itself how many thousands of times.
There you go. And that's the best investment. I feel like sometimes too, entrepreneurs feel like you have to go out and go all out, you know, and get
the best of the best.
The best of the best, right? The Sony and, you know, the high end and mirrorless and $6,000 and $7,000 and $10,000. And all of a sudden you're like, what am I doing? You know, I'm into this like thousands of dollars. Yeah. But yet, you know, something as simple as, and I shouldn't say simple because I don't know Canon and what you really have there. I'm, like I said, I have my little Sony video camera over there, which I got on Facebook Marketplace for like $350. Let's be honest.
Yeah. You know? Well, like, I think this was a kit. So I got it on QVC because it came with a kit lens and, you know, all that stuff and a case. And I think it was like $650 or $700 at the time.
Yeah, yeah.
And it was on Easy Pay, which was great.
Nice. Yes, exactly. So you don't need to invest thousands of dollars, literally a couple hundred bucks. If that, and you can really start putting out some nice content.
Yeah, and my whole thing is start messy. Just start.
Start messy.
Yeah.
I love it. Yeah, that's another great point.
Yeah.
Because a lot of times, I'll get like this, and I'm sure there's others out there, where you feel like the content has to be polished or a certain way.
In many cases, I almost feel like it's an excuse to hold back on putting your content out there.
Good point.
Because if you're spending so much time on fine tuning, I mean, I've had this conversation with so many people. When you're a creative person, you're working on a project, what is done? What is finished?
Yeah.
Because you can go back and you can tweak so many things and you're going to hate this, you're going to hate that. What is done? And you can go back to it so many times and say, oh, it's not done. It's not how I want it to be. But I think a lot of times it's psychological. You're scared to put it out there. You're not ready to put it out there. Mm-hmm. You're finding an excuse to not do that because it's not, quote, up to par, unquote. And it's, that's kind of where.
Afraid of judgment. Yeah. You know?
Afraid of judgment.
What others will think.
Afraid,
right?
Absolutely. I think that's number one for sure.
Yeah.
But also afraid of where could this go? Like, if I put this out here, because there is always that chance, that very, very, very small chance that the right person will see it or millions of people will see it. What happens if I put this out there and people want something from me?
Mm-hmm.
Am I prepared to give it to them?
That's a great point. The algorithm, you find it, you know, your content finds its way to the algorithm and it's off to the moon.
Yeah.
You know, and now all of a sudden, like you said, you have thousands or millions of people that have viewed it and are messaging you. And the potential, the upside.
Yeah. I mean, if you have a product-based business, I mean, that's a whole other beast because you're talking about inventory and production and things like that. You know, if you put something out there, and I'm not saying this to scare anyone, the chances of going viral and this happening, especially the first time you put something out there, are like next to nothing. But there, you know, you hit the right trending music or the right hashtag or something, you know, 500 people might see it, which at the time for you is a lot. And you got to think about, can I fulfill orders or how will I handle this if this happens? And that's really scary for a lot of people, especially if they're very new.
Yeah.
So the whole thing for me is just start. Whether it's your phone, a camera, or something, just start.
Just do it.
Yeah.
Just do it.
Like Nike back in the day.
There you go,
just do it.
So now, Nell, how can our listeners connect with you and follow along on your journey?
Yeah, absolutely. So if you go to www.enticingmedia, that's enticingmedia.com, you'll get links to everything we do. Kenny and Nell on YouTube. You can find us on sandcastleradio.com.org. I have a 90s show called 90s Revenge on Thursdays. We have our show together, On the Road with Kenny and Nell. Kenny has Flip Flops and Beer, which is Trap Rock on Wednesday nights. What the Nell podcast, the Drunk Squirrel podcast. All of that is at enticingmedia.com.
Perfect. So before we close out, is there anything else you'd like to share with the listeners?
Gosh, I don't think personally. I think that if you're listening to this and something impacted you, I would love to know it. Connect with me. Tell me, just drop me an email or find me on social media. I'm all over the place. Just let me know that, you know, hey, I heard your story. It caused me to think about things or anything. Or if you hated it, let me know that too.
Yeah, any feedback is good feedback, right?
Exactly.
Criticism, you know, take it into account.
Yeah.
I like it. Great. Well, I'm going to wrap it up.
Cool.
Nell Tice, owner of Enticing Media on the American Girl Podcast and the Color Tech Creative Solutions Studios. Thank you for joining me.
Thank you so much.
If you enjoyed this episode, please subscribe and leave a review. To see photos of today's guests and more content, just search American Grown Podcast
on Facebook and Instagram.
If you'd like to be a featured guest on the podcast, please direct message or email Austin at AmericanGrownPod@gmail.com.
This episode was brought to you by these sponsors.
Cleona Coffee Roasters is a small batch coffee roastery and coffee shop. Veteran and first responder owned, community oriented, and roasted fresh to order. Now open inside 911 Rapid Response, Anvil, PA. Go to CleonaCoffeeRoasters.com to order online, see updated hours, and find where you can buy it close to you.
Triggered 22 LLC, a veteran-owned apparel company. By purchasing a t-shirt, hat, or hoodie from Triggered 22, you're not only supporting a small business, but you're bringing awareness to veteran PTSD and suicide. Please help save the lives of those who fought for our freedoms. Visit triggered22.com now and place your order. Let's help those suffering from invisible wounds.